Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org. Now, here's Pastor Jim Cruz.
He is lying. I'm really 39, okay, not 35. This is actually, I don't celebrate birthdays anymore. I celebrate anniversaries. So this is the 9th anniversary of my 39th birthday. All right, so do the math, all right? But I am grateful to be here on my birthday. And not only are we trying to figure out how to celebrate my birthday, tonight is actually the last night we are actually residents of Bakersfield. And so this is like, I guess, a milestone moment, and we're going to be talking about that tonight. And so we are making our way full-time to the Thousand Oaks area. We've been here, and it's been an amazing experience coming back from Vegas and letting our kids finish school here. This is an amazing city that we have been able to be a part of, and so I'm just so grateful for this church and everything that this church has meant to me personally and meant to my family, and I'm going to continue to come back on Wednesday nights, if you're okay with that. I told Pastor Ron if he would have me, as long as he would have me, I would love to come back. And this is home for myself and my wife and our kids. And so I'm just really kind of spinning with all kinds of emotions. How many have moved in the last year? You've moved somewhere, and let me tell you, it's exhausting, all right? I forgot about it, and moving is kind of like having babies in the sense that, after 6 months pass, you forget all of the pain that was required, at least for the women, not for the guys, right? That you bring this baby into the world and you're like, hey, let's have another one, all right? At least my wife was like that. And I'm like, really? Because I remember that was a very painful experience. She goes, not with an epidural, all right? So I just kind of look at that going, I don't ever want to move again. It's physically exhausting, emotionally exhausting, mentally exhausting. And so I want to talk tonight about this idea that God wants to bring a new song into your life, to just kind of get you unstuck. I don't know if some of you are here tonight feeling a little stuck in the mud and the murk of this world, but hopefully tonight's message is going to lift you out of that, and God's going to put a new song in your mouth. And I know we can all relate to music. And I know that for some reason, and I don't know if it was Pastor Ron's message a couple weeks ago where he talked about, he was with us in Thousand Oaks, he talked about listening to country music and missing his wife. And I don't know what it was about that. And I've been listening to country music lately. And there was a song that came on the radio by this guy named Brad Paisley. I don't know if you guys have heard of him. And he says, there's a last time for everything. And it just came on. We're packing up the house. And it's just like when he's singing the song, emotionally, I'm feeling these lyrics because I'm realizing that this is the last time that we're here in Bakersfield's residence and my whole family's together. And it's just is a surreal moment. And music has a way of connecting to you emotionally unlike any other thing. Matter of fact, I was doing a little study on this and a little research about how music affects our brain. And in some cases, music can hit your brain in the same way that drugs hit your body. In other words, you can listen to a song and it can cultivate all kinds of endorphins and dopamine chemical reactions in your body. That's why some of you, I mean, you're probably like me, like an old 80s song will kick on and you'd be like, oh, I love that song. And it brings back maybe memories of childhood and good memories. And so we've somehow connected that emotional time of our lives of developing who we are as a person. And now as we listen to it, there's a connection. There's an emotional connection. So here's what I have to ask you tonight as we step into Psalm 40. Is if there was a song out there that right now would be kind of like your life song, that would, you know, you would say, I connect with that emotionally, where I'm at in my life, where the things, my circumstances, situations that are going on, I really connect with the song. Matter of fact, I would say this is kind of like my life song today or this week. Maybe you can identify with some of the songs that I picked out, and I thought, these are songs that I think most people in this room are going to be able to pull out one of these songs and say, yes, that's like my life song right now in this moment. Go ahead and play that. And so, how many of you would say this is your song? I don't know how that song, remember? Or how about this one? We are never, ever, ever getting back together. We are never, ever, ever getting back together. You go talk to your friends, talk to my friends, talk to me. But we are never, ever, ever, ever getting back together.
For this life I cannot change. In the hills, deep off in the main. Eminem, sweet like candy cane.
I don't know, this is the only wig I had. That kind of. You're just feeling that?
In the hills, deep off in the main. Eminem.
Everybody.
I don't have a wig for this one. This is just. Some of you, this has been your week, your month, maybe your year. It's like, when is it gonna just be over?
Now it's time to sing along. Long
past, oh, we never broke my heart. This is my country hair. I don't need a woman, I just need a beer. Okay, so that's your entertainment for the night. but I needed to do something while these songs were playing. But seriously, some of you are like, man, I maybe those songs weren't the songs that I really connect with. But there is a song that right now, there's a rhythm in your soul and you don't even know about it, but it's plain to all of your family that you live with, all of your friends that you're around, and maybe you don't hear yourself, but they hear you loud and clear, that your life has a rhythm, has a song to it. Now, what David is going to tell us in Psalm 40 is that when God gives you a breakthrough, he gives you a new rhythm for your life. And that rhythm will come out of your mouth. It will be portrayed in everything that you represent as a person. I know Shane already prayed. Let's just go right into it. So this is the Psalm of David, Psalm 40. You might know the psalm from the band U2. They did the song, and I think J-Dub will play it at the end. But it says, I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me, and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire, and he set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. I love how this starts off. David, we don't know exactly what kind of trouble he's in, but if you study the life of David, you will know that he had a lot of different trouble. But actually, this psalm goes into detail of kind of the things that he was thinking about, the things that had him stuck in the mud, That the picture here is that he fell into a well. And Lassie wasn't around to rescue him. He was in a well. That was an old joke, all right? Nobody was like, what is that? Who's Lassie? Timmy fell in the well? Yeah, okay. Never mind, all right. Some of you are tracking with me. I just got this hair from one of the wigs stuck in my hair. Anyway, so the picture David's saying is I fell into this well. And there's no way I'm getting out. And matter of fact, I'm on the bottom of this well, and it's just like got this mud and debris. It's just like, it's just sinking me. I'm trying to get a footing so that I might be able to get out. And I can't even get a footing. It's so muddy down here. And he says, I waited patiently for God to rescue me and to pull me out of this well, and he did. But I want to look at this idea of waiting patiently. Because in the Hebrew language, that is, in waiting, I waited. Think about that. In waiting, I waited. That is saying, I was really persevering in this waiting time of God delivering me in my cry for help. See, here's our problem. We don't like to wait. Nobody likes to wait. Just think of your last experience at the DMV without your appointment. Come on, somebody, all right? Think about Highway 58 and you're driving at rush hour and they decided to open up a fourth construction zone. After they've already started three, they thought one more would be okay. And so you're stuck in traffic. You're waiting in traffic. Or how about that relative or that friend that is always 10 minutes late? You go over to their house, or maybe they live with you and you're all ready and you know that church starts at 7. They know church starts at 7, but they're not ready until 6:59, and you're like, we gotta be there right now. We can't get to church in a minute. How many live with somebody that is just chronically late and you are waiting on them, all right? It's okay to elbow them if that's them, because let me tell you, I'm that guy. My family is always waiting on me because I'm the guy that I can always do one more task before we have to go to that next appointment. That's me. But we don't like to wait. And you have to understand something. Deliverance isn't like Domino's Pizza. Your deliverance isn't going to come in 30 minutes or less. Sometimes deliverance out of your well of adversity and problems is going to take a little bit of time. But my encouragement to you tonight, and Psalm 40's encouragement to you tonight, is don't stop crying out for help. While you're down there, while you're suffering, while you have no footing, you keep crying out to God and you wait patiently because your rescuer and deliverer is on his way. Now, you need to understand that there are many factors that go into your breakthrough. That your breakthrough isn't about just like, hey, God, you know, bring me out of this place that I'm in and... You know, like a genie in the bottle, he's just poof, he gives you whatever it is that you're wanting. There are free agents at work around your life that possibly could be preventing your breakthrough. Matter of fact, I started thinking about this theologically, about why sometimes it feels as though we've been given promises of God that this hardship is going to go away, and it doesn't. And we start questioning our faith. Maybe we even start getting a little upset at God because somehow this is his fault. But in reality, let's look at this from just looking and studying at the Bible. There's three main factors that you need to consider when it comes to your breakthrough. Yes, God is all powerful, but there are more factors involved than just God. First of all, there's the devil. And you need to understand from a biblical worldview, the devil is real. And just like God has a plan for your life, the devil also has a plan for your life. Where God's plan is to give you life abundantly, the devil's plan is to see you destroyed. And to try to destroy everything, not just you, but everything around you. That's his plan for your life. And so when he starts seeing you make progress and moving your life in a positive direction towards heaven and towards looking more like Jesus, he's not going to sit in the bleachers and watch you be successful and have victories in your life. He's going to oppose you. He's going to come after you. He's going to try to discourage you. He's going to try to distract you. He's going to try to bring division around your life. See, the devil's playbook isn't really thick, but he's really good at running the plays that he runs. And I see him run these time and time again with serious, mature, spiritual men and women of God, and he can get to the best of us running these three plays: discouragement, distraction, and division. Think about how those things have hit your life lately. You have somebody opposed against your life from making progress, and it's real. And he's got demons that are after your life being used by the devil himself to try to oppose you. I always think of Daniel chapter 10. You guys have heard me preach this before. But Daniel chapter 10, Daniel, this man of God, is praying for God to give him this revelation, and he's praying for days, and then days turn into weeks, and Daniel's super confused because God has been moving for him, and he doesn't understand what the holdup is. And in Daniel chapter 10, we have this kind of this spiritual awakening of what's happening in the spiritual realm while we're praying. And what happens is an angel comes to visit Daniel and says, I would have been here sooner, but the prince of Persia had captured me, and it took Michael, the archangel, to come and set me free from the prince of Persia. So what we have is a glimpse of the spiritual warfare that is at work in this world that we cannot see with our human eyes. And possibly the delay in your breakthrough and your deliverance are these demons and the devil himself trying to oppose you, because he knows once the breakthrough takes place, once the deliverance happens, you are going to be forever changed and you are going to be a force of heaven on the earth. So what do? You wait patiently. In waiting, keep waiting, and you keep crying out to God, because every time you cry out to God, you're pouring more heaven over that situation, and you're having more angels come to your aid to fight off any demonic opposition that's coming against you. That's just, folks, that's just one factor. Then you got another factor you got to consider. It's you. Touch your neighbor, say, he's talking about you. And look back at him and say, and you. Here's the deal. You make free will choices with your life. And the Bible says whatever those choices are, you have to deal with the consequences of those choices. That's a law that the Apostle Paul talks about in this book called the Book of Galatians. He says, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Now, what we need to understand is God wants us to be planting good seeds so that in due season we will reap a harvest of good. But if we are really honest with ourselves, we have planted a lot of bad seeds. You know what I'm talking about. You have been, I mean, it wasn't just last week. I'm talking you have decades of seeds that have left your life that were not good seeds. And now all of a sudden there's a harvest of these things happening. And matter of fact, those things are the very things that are pushing you deeper into the well that you're in. And yes, God is great, but he also has given us a law and a principle that we need to realize and we need to sober up and consider when it comes to having our breakthrough, that sometimes the breakthrough is delayed because you have to go through the consequences of that bad decision that you made last year or maybe even 10 years ago. There are some of you, unfortunately, if you could jump in the DeLorean and go back in time, right? Because that's how time travel happens in a DeLorean. You go in a DeLorean, you go back in time, and you go back to, you know, 1994, and you're like, I'm telling younger me, stay away from him, right? Like, don't go there, dude. Like, I am going back and I'm telling younger me, like, I can avoid a lot of headache and heartache in my future if I just don't make that one decision. You know, one of the sobering realities of ministering in Vegas for all the years that I did was that we would go and we would serve at the rescue mission there. We had a really good partnership with them. And so we'd go there and we would serve them meals, but we'd also sit with the people eating and just, you know, see if they needed prayer, if they wanted to talk, if they just wanted somebody to have a conversation with. And so I would go and I would sit and I would start talking to people. And, you know, I've been around homeless people and people that are kind of down on their luck a lot because I've been a pastor for a long time. And there were dudes in line that looked probably like they had more money than I do. And they looked super normal with guys that, you know, haven't had a haircut probably 10 years and long old beards looking, you know, got their Moses look going on. And so I talked to these guys. I talked to everybody. I talked to these guys. And I'm like, what's your story? Like, tell me, you know, I'm not here to judge you, but I'm here to pray for you. And they would be genuine and transparent and tell me their story. And after I heard enough of these stories, I realized something for myself. And it really was a clarifying moment for me, not just as a person, but as a pastor that gets to minister to so many people, is that I realized a lot of those guys are in line and going through hardship over one bad decision they made. And I've come to the conclusion that those guys that are flashing signs that you pass by every day, and I know some of them are addicts and you don't want to, you know, enable them in their addictions, but people in those realms, really, you are only one decision away from being right next to them. You need to understand that. And we could cry out for breakthrough and deliverance all we want, but we have to own the decisions that we are making with our lives. And Jesus died so that you could go to heaven, but he resurrected so that heaven could come and invade your soul so that you can have help in making better decisions for your life. I can tell you, and I will admit, I'm a horrible decision maker. I need help. Tell you, we all do. My wife right here, she'd be like, yep. You know, I'm so glad that God's given me the Holy Spirit and my wife, you know, who is the second Holy Spirit, right? They're both helpers, and God knows that I need a lot of help. But you have you to think about. And I am so sorry that you are still dealing with consequences, but let me tell you something. Keep crying out to God. Don't give up on crying out to God. Don't get fatalistic and say, yep, I may, you know, what's the saying? You know, I messed up the bed, now I gotta lay in it kind of thing. And I don't want that kind of mentality to seep in, but I want you to be more patient with the factors that are going into God giving you a breakthrough. That it's not just like, you know, genie in the bottle status. He's moving through negative decisions that you made. He's moving through demonic forces. And here's the last factor, and this is kind of more sobering to talk about, and it's God. And this is the one that is a little bit difficult to explain because we don't have understanding on our side of existence. Why things don't happen in the timing that we want them to happen. And it's frustrating because we kind of see it logically and you're like, God, I need a deliverance today. I mean, like yesterday would have even been better, but I'll take it today and not have to wait another year or another 5 years or another decade. And sometimes it's frustrating because as you're living in that space, it just feels like God has abandoned you. But in reality, God is going ahead of you. And he's seeing all of the moving parts that you don't see and that I don't see. And he's saying, if I bring them deliverance today, that will send them into a direction that will actually be negative for their life. And so I need to get the timing perfect so that they can be exactly where they want to be, and more importantly, that I want them to be at. Have you ever prayed a prayer in your past and you got really frustrated that God didn't answer that prayer, but now 10 years have passed and now you're thanking God that he didn't answer that prayer? And as you look in hindsight, you're like, whew, Lord, I know I prayed that, but thank you for saying no, or like, you know, just ignoring that or just whatever, because oh, I'm so thankful and 10 years have passed and that was horrible that I was even praying that. Because sometimes you that have kids, you know that sometimes your kids ask you for things and you're like, that is not good for you. I know you want Ben and Jerry's ice cream, but we have to eat dinner first. You can't just have ice cream. And so you're trying to, you know, rationalize this with your three-year-old, and it's kind of difficult to do. And so I think a lot of times God is like that, and God's trying to rationalize why the timing is different than when we want it, because God is saying, if I give it to you now, you're not going to be in the position I want you to be in later. Does that make sense? So some of you just need to develop a saying. As a matter of fact, it used to be another TV show in the 50s called Father Knows Best. Our Heavenly Father knows best, the best timing. And see, here's the thing. We're always in a hurry. Let me tell you something about God. He's never in a hurry. He's never in a hurry. You're in a hurry. I'm in a hurry. Got to get somewhere. Got to do this. It's got to happen now. And God's like, mm-mm. Because I see your future and I know what you want and I know what I want. And if that thing were to be delivered to you today, you would be off course and you would never receive what I have to give you. Does that make sense? So wait patiently. I know it's hard. But that's where you get to understand that, you know what, I'm going to keep crying out to God, because there is no demon of hell that is greater than the power and the might of my God. So I'm going to pray through those strongholds. I'm going to pray through those bad decisions. And I'm going to pray for God's perfect timing for this to take place in and for my life. Now let's go to the next verse. Let's skip that one. Let's go to verse 3. It says, he has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. That's the first part of the verse. He's given me a new song. So out of that deliverance, and it does go on to say he was delivered, David says, from a lot of trouble. He had people hating him. He had people wanting him to die. And then he said, then I have my sin. And then David just gets transparent. Don't you love transparent people? Just like, hey, I've got more sin than I have hair on my head. Now, I know from history books that David wasn't fully bald, so it wasn't like I've got one hair and one sin. No, he was like, I've got a lot of sin in my life. And I just love a guy that's just willing to say, you know, I don't have my act all together. I stand with him in my own self. Like I just had a rush the other day. The printer didn't work, and I grabbed the printer, and I was ready to chuck it out the door. And my wife's like, what is going on? I go, I'm turning green. It's stress. Pray for me, right? Pastors get stressed too, but I took a Selah moment and calmed myself, got in my car, and everything was good. The green went away. I didn't turn into the Hulk, and my printer still works. All right. So All that to say, man, God delivered David out of a lot of stuff. He troubled people wanting him to die. He had some haters in his life. He had sin that he was trying to overcome. And God just picked him up and lifted him out of that. And he's like, you know what? I've got a new song to sing to God, man, because now I know I'm in a new chapter of my life. God has given me a new start, a new beginning, a new song, a new rhythm. And I gotta sing this out as loud as I can. You know, in the Hebrew culture, when God would do something miraculous, when God would give a huge breakthrough, people would write songs, new songs, to commemorate what God has done. Matter of fact, Moses, after the Red Sea had parted and the people were delivered out of Egypt, it says this in Exodus, if they have that slide. I don't know if they have that slide or not. It says, I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider, he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. They would sing this song. They were like, whoa, God did something so cool. We gotta write a song about this. We're so excited. We gotta put this emotion behind some music. Hannah was so excited when God gave her a baby. And you know, God gave her Samuel, and she was so excited that she was told she would never be able to have kids. And then God gave her the promise, and she had a son, and she wrote a song with this breakthrough that she had. And it's found in 1 Samuel. If they have that, it says, my heart exults in the Lord, my horn is exalted in the Lord. I don't know where her horn was, but my mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. She's just like, I'm so excited. Like, God did this amazing thing in my life that my life now is not going to be the same like it was. Like, in this moment, this defining moment that I've had with God, God changed the rhythm of my life. My life song has been changed because of my experience with God. Has your experience with God changed the rhythm of your life? Has he changed the rhythm of your life? See, so often people stick with their old songs because they're familiar with the rhythm. And the new rhythm kind of makes them a little uncomfortable. But I want you to know something about your relationship with God. He is always going to be pulling you up to new levels. He is always going to be taking you and giving you upgrades for your life. And every time he brings you to a new level, there's newness that comes, and you need to embrace those new rhythms because it's those new rhythms that are going to help you stay in this place of breakthrough constantly in your life. Let me read Isaiah because this is super good. It says, but the Lord says, do not cling to events of the past or dwell on what happened long ago. Watch for the what, church? The new thing. Turn to your neighbor and say, new thing. Watch for the new thing I am going to do. It is happening already. You can see it now. I will make a road through the wilderness and give you streams of water there. I'm going to make a way where there seems to be no way, God is saying. You think it's too difficult for God to give you a new beginning? To take the narrative of your life and write in a new chapter where you get to start over again? You think that's too difficult for God? Do you think it's too difficult that you've had this old rhythm and that he has come into your life so that you can start having a new song come from your life? That's not too difficult. He does it all the time. But see, in order for us to embrace the new, we have to let go of the old. You can't march to the new rhythm that God has for you when you're stuck in the old rhythms of your life. This is just one of those God winks for me personally. I had a friend of mine, he had no idea what I was speaking on. He just sent me a random text. Don't you love it when a friend sends you a random text and it was just, it's an ordained God moment and you're like, wow. And you get to tell them like, dude, you have no idea. How many have ever received a text message like that? All right, check this out. This is what he sent me. You can't start the next chapter of your life if you keep rereading the last one. That's good stuff. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's pretty good. Some of you, God wants to create the new chapter, but you keep going back and rereading the last one. You can't step into the new chapter if you're constantly rereading the old one. Behold, he has given you all things new so that you can put away the old things, that you are a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. That's how we move into this new rhythm. And how this new song gets produced. And here's the fun part. The second part of verse 3. It says, many will see what he has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. This is the cool part. that your new rhythm, your new sound, the music coming from your soul is going to be so powerful that other people are going to want to come to God. In other words, there's something about the new rhythm that God has, the sound of God, you might say, that comes from your life. When you are playing it the way it was intended to play, there's something about it that you will turn heads where you go. You will get people's attention, not because of the big Bible that you're carrying or the Christian t-shirt that you're wearing or the bumper sticker on your car. There will be a fragrant aroma that is penetrating the atmosphere of the rooms that you go in because of the rhythm and the music that is playing from your soul as you walk into a room. How do I know that? It happens to me all the time. I don't have to like go in there and say, do you love Jesus? I'm a Jesus follower and you need to come to church with me this Sunday. Amen. People would be running out of the room if I came into the room like that. But I go in there and say, hey, how you doing? I smile. Matter of fact, Paul told us this. He's like talking about this big idea of like gifts of the Spirit in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. Then he moves in and he's like, you know what? The biggest gift of all that any of us can possess is the gift of love. And then he goes on and he describes what love is. But then he ends the chapter with this whammy. I call it a heavy revy. This is a heavy revelation. And Paul's getting it like, this is the rhythm. If you want to know what the rhythm of God sounds like, the Apostle Paul put it in one verse. It's found in your Bibles. Here it is, 1 Corinthians 13:13. He says, but now faith, hope, and love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. There is a rhythm. The sound of God is faith, hope, and love. Faith is that complete trust. Hope is that confident expectation. And well, you know what love is. We know what love should be, because just right before that, Paul takes the whole chapter and describes what real love looks like. So as you think about the rhythm that should be coming from your life, that is going to influence the people in your family, where you work, and even where you live, it goes back to faith, hope, and love. Do people that are around your life see you completely trusting in God for everything in your life? Or do they see you like trying to control and manipulate, try to worm your way into things and maybe they see you stressed out or anxious? Man, that's really not giving off the rhythm of faith. The rhythm of faith is, you know what, even though I don't know everything that's coming and there's all kinds of what if bubbles in my head, I know God reigns in my life, so therefore I'm going to be okay. His promise to me is yes and amen, so I'm going to stay in this position of just trusting God. I'm going to trust God. I don't understand. This looks really glim. It's not what I ordered, but you know what? It's what's happening. And you know what? I know that God is bigger than this difficulty and this trial, so I'm going to trust God. I mean, that's faith. When you start living that way, you will turn people's heads. They'll be like, that's crazy. Like you're okay. Like, you're not stressed out. You're not like anxious and fearful. Nah, because my God is bigger than this thing. And I know that. That's faith. And that hope is that confident expectation where God is always going to make your life better. He always is. And I know that sounds like prosperity gospel and like, you know, God's just gonna give you all the money and everything you pray for. Like you just name it and you claim it and God will give it. You know, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this idea that you know when you cry out to God that you're his kid and God is moving all of heaven to come to rescue you. That's confident expectation. Some of you came here tonight and you were expecting that when you showed up in the house of God, God was going to come here and he's going to speak to your heart, and he already has. You're like, whoa, I knew I needed to come to church, and what? There you go. You have not because you ask not. You have not because you expect not. Come with expectation. And when you're expecting great things for your future, you're turning heads. You're getting people's attention because you are living in Eeyore land. You are living in a land where everyone's like, oh boy. I Googled my symptoms today and I'm dying in 3 months, and I just want to tell you, I love you and I'm going to die. I'm like, really? Like, how many of you have like talked to somebody the last week or last month that you just went in there, hey, how you doing? And by the end of the conversation, you're like wanting to go take some Xanax after talking to them. You're just like, what is their deal? It's like, man alive. Am I speaking truth? It's like we have got to be the ones that are the most hopeful out of the whole world. Like that when everything is breaking loose and falling apart, people are looking at the church and we're like, we're good. Why? Because we're just one day closer to being in heaven with God forever. So yeah, all hell's breaking loose and these wars are happening. This guy's turning the guy into a girl into a guy, and people are just blah, 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 blah. But you know what? I'm good. Because I have God. That's confident expectation. And you're going to turn people's heads, go, man, that guy's different. And here's the last thing. It's love. It's love. It's so simple, but yet we're not practicing it. Jesus said, I am giving you a new commandment. Love people. Love one another in the same way that I've loved you. He loved people unconditionally. Sacrificially. Well, when's the last time you loved somebody unconditionally? That means they did something that made you mad. And you made a decision, even though they're being unlovable, I'm going to love them anyway. That's the kind of love that the Apostle Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians 13. He's not talking about loving people that already love you. He said, Jesus even said, the world does that. The God love, the Jesus love, loves even your enemies. When's the last time you poured some love on an enemy in your life? You brought in some Starbucks to that guy that you know has been talking behind your back. Or maybe you offered to pray for somebody that you know inside was wishing for your failure, but you're like, I'm going to pray for them and pray for their blessing. And this is the kind of love that unconditional, sacrificial, where you go out of your way and you put other needs before yourself. When's the last time that even though you had a lot going on, you said, I'm going to push the pause button on my own life because my bro needs me right now. My sister needs me right now. My church family needs me right now. That stranger at the AMPM, they need me right now. And I'm going to put my own desires aside and I'm going to love them because Jesus loved me and I want to love them in the same way that Jesus has loved me. That's the kind of love. And so as we end, and I'm out of time, but in Vegas, we had this mantra, and I want to teach it to you tonight because this helps that rhythm come out of you, and this helps you embrace, like, has Jesus brought you up out of the well? Has he taken your life that was stuck in the mud, and has he rescued you, and has he done something exceedingly abundant, more than you could have ever asked or imagined? Has he given you a new start? Has he wrote a new chapter? Has he given you a new beginning? If the answer is yes, then follow this mantra. Keep the faith, spread the hope, and live the love. Let's say that together on three. Ready? One, two, three. Keep the faith. Spread the hope. Live the love. One more time. Ready? One, two, three. Keep the faith. Spread the hope. Live the love. Now, if you do this, I wish I had a beatboxer right now that could be behind me right now. We throw down a beat right now. But you kind of feel it. It's like, keep the faith. Spread the hope. Live the love. Keep the faith, spread the hope, live the love. Come on, come on, you know? It's just like, there's a rhythm to it, And it's the song of God, and he wants you to have it tonight. I'm out of time. Would you just pray with me, and we'll get you out of here. Father, I just thank you so much for all that you're doing in this church and in, God, in our communities. But God, I know there's people here tonight that are far from you, that aren't right, that haven't surrendered their life to you. If you're here tonight and this idea of a new beginning just seems so incredible to you, like really, like I can just hit a reset button and God will forgive me of my sin and I can start brand new and I can begin a new chapter in my life. Yes. Yes.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us our King, give us our love.